You're listening to New Hampshire
Welcome
Now.
Welcome back here on New Hampshire Now. 1-9-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health. And this segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. That's who my family trusts for all their plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs. Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We come to you from the Concord Photo Service Main Street Studio. And honored right now to be joined to the program by Graham Nash, who is flat out one of my favorite artists, period. And along with Crosby and Stills, I have seen them probably as many times in concert as anybody else. And Graham is going to be doing a show up here in July, on July 12th, up at the Flying Monkey in Plymouth. And we're honored to have him join us on the program. Graham, how are you?
And Chris, how have you been?
Great. Appreciate you joining us for the show. And one of the things that I have always admired about you is the fact that your music has meaning, and whether it's, you know, meaning in terms of life and the trials and tribulations, the love and the loss that goes along with living, or having, you know, a social conscience. And, you know, I'm curious as to at what point in time in your career you started to realize how important it was to be relevant, so to speak, to sing about things that people cared about. Because obviously a lot of the music today, in my view, and I don't want to, you know, chastise all the music today, doesn't carry the meaning that it should in popular music as compared to, in my view, the past.
Yeah, yes. First of all, I'm an incredibly lucky man. I've been creating for many years, and I've been, you know, being able to write songs that touch people's hearts. And I'm very thankful to be alive and creative, and I'm very thankful to be an American citizen, because in this country you can speak your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure that half of the stuff that me and David and Stephen and Neil and, you know, and Jackson and Bonnie have done over the years, we wouldn't have been able to do in a different country.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. So, having stated that, here I am. I'm, you know, 75 years old, and I'm kicking ass.
Yeah, absolutely. And the relevance, it's interesting, and the need for artists like yourself, Bruce Springsteen, Bonnie Raitt, and other fabulous singer-songwriters, the need seems to be now more than ever, given the environment that we live in, for those voices to be heard.
Yeah, we have to resist. I mean, you know, I've been here almost 50 years in America. I've been here longer than I was in England, if that's of any interest. But given the political climate today and what's going on with the Trump administration, I think we have to resist. It would be very easy to say, you know, well, you know, this country's a bit screwed right now, I'm leaving,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that does nothing. We have to resist. We have to let people know that the Trump administration is dragging America back 50 years. You know, right now they're playing with the idea of taking us out of the Paris climate change agreement, and that would be disastrous. You know, I don't think that this Earth has another 4 years of pollution and CO2, and I don't think we have another 4 years. And is that what it's going to be with the Trump administration? I hope this man really talks himself out of the presidency, and he seems to be doing a very good job of that right now.
Obviously, you wrote about and lived during the Nixon administration, and that was one of, mm-hmm. obviously, the most significant creative periods for yourself and CSN. Do you see the parallels between Nixon and Trump? Is this worse? Is it not as bad? What parallels do you see?
I believe this is much worse than the Nixon administration. At least Richard Nixon had a brain. At least he read. At least he was worldwide citizen. He understood what was going on. You know, Nixon started the EPA, for instance, and he opened up China, which was a great thing for the world. But Donald Trump doesn't read, doesn't want to read. Only is interested in himself and his family and money. And that is it.
One of the things that was so interesting in kind of getting ready for this interview with you was kind of listening to some of the works over your career, and particularly during that time period and the Nixon time period. And I was drawn to Chicago. And we have artists on the show. I very often like to intersperse kind of some of their best works with the interview and have the artist talk a little bit about what was behind that particular song in that time period. And for you, kind of talk a little bit about Chicago and how it came to fruition.
I got a call early one morning from a friend of mine called Wavy Gravy. Strange name. His real name is Hugh Rumney. He was a comedian in Greenwich Village in the late 50s, early 60s. He's the guy that took care of all the people that got a little screwed up at Woodstock.
Mm-hmm.
He has an organization called SEVA right now, S-E-V-A, that has saved the eyesight of millions of people over the last couple of decades. He's a hero of ours. So he called me one day and he said, these seven kids in Chicago have been busted for trying to disrupt the Democratic National Convention in 1968 in Chicago. And would CSNY think about coming to Chicago just to sing and raise money for their defense fund? I could go. Crosby could go. Stephen and Neil wanted to go, but they had other commitments. And so I really wrote Chicago for Stephen and Neil. Can't we just go to Chicago just to sing?
And here is Chicago.
Yes.
So your brother's bound and gagged, and they've chained him to a chair. Won't you please come to Chicago just to sing? As freedom, how can such a thing be fair? Won't you please come to Chicago for the help that we can bring? We can change the world, rearrange the world, it's time to get better.
That is Chicago from with Graham Nash on lead vocals. He's going to be up at the Flying Monkey in July, on July the 12th. Joining us here on the New Hampshire Now program, probably the most powerful vocal performance, one of them I can think of, is "Find the Cost of Freedom." And
yes.
Tell me how that came to fruition, because it's so different than, you know, a lot of the music of the time period. Because obviously, there's no accompaniment.
This is what happened. Crosby called me one day and he said, book the studio right away. Book the engineer, book the band, book tape, book it right now. I said, holy shit, what's the matter, Crosby? He goes, wait till you hear a Neil Young song called Ohio. He wrote it today. We're coming down tomorrow to record it. Get the studio ready. So we did. Me and Steve were in Los Angeles. We booked the studio at the record plant and booked Bill Halverson, who was our engineer, and booked the band. And we came down and recorded Ohio in about an hour and a half. Obviously, we needed a B-side. And Steven said, how about my song, Find the Cost of Freedom? And we said, absolutely. And I believe it was a song that Steven had written originally for Easy Rider with Peter Fonda and Dennis Hopper, of course. It didn't get used, but should have done. We recorded Find the Cost of Freedom in two takes. We gave the A-side, Ohio, and the B-side, Find the Cost of Freedom, to Ahmet Erdogan, who was the president and owner of Atlantic Records, who was at the session. He took it to New York with our instructions to put it out immediately. And they said, well, you have Teacher Children going up into the top 20. What do you want to do? We said, put it out immediately. It was way more important that we were, you know, that mm-hmm. we were telling America that we were killing our own children for their God-given right to protest what their government was doing in their name. It was much more important to let people know that than us having another hit record.
So that, let's hear from Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young. Last time they toured back in 2006 with Ohio and Find the Cost of Freedom.
Lay your body down. soldiers and Nixon's coming. We're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming. For dead in Ohio. For dead in Ohio. For dead in Ohio. For dead in Ohio.
Dead in Ohio.
All right, that is Ohio from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. We heard the live version of Find the Cost of Freedom, which was the B-side to that single. Graham Nash stays with us here for the hour on Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. This hour of the program presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health, and this segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
One morning I woke up and I knew you a new day, a new way, and new eyes to look on. Go the way of the mind can go. The sky is clearing and the night. The sun, he come, the world's all come. Rejoice, rejoice, we have no choice but to carry on. The fortunes of fables are able.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Welcome back here on New Hampshire Now with 9-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate joining us for the program. This hour of it brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health, and this segment of the show presented by El Rodeo Mexican Restaurant at 22 Loudon Road in Concord, right across from the Everett Arena. If you haven't checked out El Rodeo yet, you've been missing out on the best Mexican food in the capital region. El Rodeo, 22 Loudon Road, again, right across from the Everett Arena. Graham Nash joins us here on the New Hampshire Now program, and so excited to have him with us as we're going through some of his great works. And to you, is there a particular song that that stands out to you at this point in time that carries tremendous weight based upon the current times that we live in? That's kind of come back around. U2 is doing the Joshua Tree tour 30 years later. And,
right.
And because they feel that those songs carry added meaning based upon the time period that we
what's
live in.
Going on today, yeah. Yes. I mean, Immigration Man, Chicago, I'm singing every night. Military Madness, still incredibly relevant today. And it's great for a songwriter to know that the songs that you create are going to be listened to, long after I'm dead. But at the same time, why do we have to keep singing Military Madness? Don't we learn anything over there? I wrote that song for my father going off to World War II.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, there has to be a frustration as well where, when you wrote these songs and when you sang these songs during that time period, there was a hope that I would assume that there was going to be a progress that was going to follow them, and they would become somewhat irrelevant. But it seems like, as you referenced before, that a lot of the what has gone on in this past election has brought these questions that we thought were answered already kind of back to the forefront in regards to equality and so
that,
forth.
That's the sadness that I feel, you know, and the elation that I feel at the same time. It's kind of a weird, kind of emotional roller coaster. I'm elated that my songs have lasted this long, but I'm terrified that we're still having to sing them.
Right. It's, as you mentioned, it's a very complex and strange situation. My
life
favorite,
is complex, kid.
That's true. It's true. My my favorite song of yours has always been Cathedral. And I grew up Irish Catholic, still Irish Catholic. And to me, you know, that song kind of hit me when I first heard it when I was a teenager. And that was one of the great and most important things that, you know, I gained from you and Neil and Crosby and Stills is that, you know, the questioning of things. Not that they, not that you're necessarily, you know, have the answers, or not that the answers necessarily out there, but it's important to ask questions about
questions,
everything.
Yes.
Right. And you may end up coming back to the same place.
Like Cathedral, the, you know, there have been millions and millions of people killed over the ages in the name of religion, you know, and behind the concept that my God is better than your God and I'll kill you to prove it. Yeah, very religious. And with Cathedral, it took me a long time to finish because I needed every word to be right.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about people's religions and what they believe, you have to be very careful. And it took me a while to write Cathedral. It took me, you know, an hour and a half to write Our House and less than that to write Just a Song Before I Go.
Right, because of the accuracy element to it. Let's hear Cathedral right now.
Into the luxury of the lords, fighting dragons and crossing swords, with the people against the hordes we came to conquer. Seven o'clock in the morning, here it comes, I taste the warning, and I'm so amazed I'm here today, seeing things so clear this way, in the car and on my way to Stonehenge. I'm flying in Winchester Cathedral, sunlight pouring through the break of day. Stumble through the door and into the chamber. There's a lady setting flowers on a table, covered lace. And a cleaner in a distance finds a cobweb on her face. And a feeling deep inside of me tells me this can't be the place. I'm flying in Winchester Cathedral. All religion has to have its day. Expressions on the face of the Savior made me say, I can't stay. Open up the gates of the church and let me out of here. Too many people have lied in the name of Christ for anyone to heed the call. So many people have died in the name of Christ that I can't believe it all. Standing on the grave of a soldier that died in 1799. And the day he died, it was a birthday, and I noticed it was mine. And my head didn't know just who I was, and I went spinning back in time. And I am high up on the altar, high up on the altar.
cathedral. It's hard enough to drink the wine. The air inside just hangs in delusion, but given time. I'll be fine. Open up the gates of the church and let me out of here. Too many people have lied in the name of Christ for anyone to heed the call. Too many people have died in the name of Christ, and I can't believe it all. And now I'm standing on the grave of a soldier that died in 1799. And the day he died, it was a birthday, and I noticed it was mine. And my head didn't know just who I was. I was spinning back in time. And I am high up on the altar. High up on the altar.
All right, that is Cathedral, my favorite song with Graham Nash on lead vocals. Tell us a little bit about the tour and what you're doing right now. You mentioned it's obviously tremendously relevant based upon our time period, but you're playing Military Madness, excuse me, and yep. Immigration Man. What else is on tap?
Well, you know, I have a tremendous catalog of songs that I've written. When you're in a band with four strong writers, you know, you only have so much time and right. So many songs that you can put in there, because you have to have it relatively equal. So I'm getting to sing songs that I never had a chance to sing. I'm playing, it's basically an acoustic show, although my guitar player, my great friend Shane Fontaine, is playing with me, and he plays electric sometimes. A little piano, you know, people are really loving it. I talk about why I wrote Our House. You know, people are very interested. You know, people that don't write music and aren't musicians, to them, music is magic. It's mm-hmm. How do you do that? You know, and unfortunately, I can't answer that question, because right. I don't really know. I have to feel something before I start writing. Something has to move my soul in a very large way before I can sit down and write about it. And here I am, still writing.
Side of the northern sea. The army had my father, and my mother was having me. Military madness was killing my country. Solitary sadness comes over. Thank you.
I had read an article in regards to your relationship with David Crosby and some other members of the band. Things were not good. That was last year. Has there been any changes or
not at all?
Yeah,
no. I haven't spoken to Crosby in over a year and a half. I have no interest in talking to him whatsoever.
And that's out of frustration in regards to what he said about Neil Young's new girlfriend, or just overall?
No. That's only one thing.
Yeah.
That's only one part of David's crazy way of thinking. I mean, you can't talk about someone's lover like that.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
It's just insane. And David, if it's right for David, it's right for David, and that's what David believes.
It seems like and this is from my outsider's perspective, and I read Neil Young's biography, Shaky, and have read a lot about you guys over the years, that you were kind of always the glue guy, if you will, who kept everybody together and put up with...
Because I've always thought that the music was by far the most important part of our relationship. We're just four guys, that escaped from doing what our father and our mother, had to do, and our grandfathers had to do. Go down the mine or go into the mill. But we were four guys, and four human beings with our own weaknesses and our own strengths. But when we come together and we're good, it's a powerful piece.
But this was kind of perhaps you've obviously put up with a lot for many, many years in regards to Crosby and Young and Stills and everybody's egos and keeping everybody together. And this was just kind of that moment that broke it all for you?
Yeah.
That's
the way it is.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we're looking forward to the show, and again, appreciate you taking some time to join us to discuss your music. And you've, as I said before, been an incredibly important person in my life, and kind of opened.
I appreciate that,
and I think a lot of people.
I must confess, I'm really looking forward to playing the Flying Monkey. I'm serious.
We're looking forward to having
you. Great name for a club. That's fantastic.
It is, and it's really New Hampshire. You'll like it. And we hope you get to spend some time up here in the Granite State as well.
Can't wait. Thanks, Chris.
All right, Graham Nash here on Hampshire Now. 1-9-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of it brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health, and that segment of the show presented by El Rodeo Mexican Restaurant.
I'll light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today. Staring at the fire for hours and hours while I listen to you play your love songs all night long. Life used to be so hard.
hard. Now everything is easy 'cause of you. And I'll light the fire while you place the flowers in the vase that you bought today.